Mondays at noon as we explore the universal energy that connects us all. Let's discuss our journey of self-discovery, joy, presence, and living with authenticity. We can create positive change in the world, and it starts within each one of us. Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Mondays at noon on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver. Hi, welcome to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and this is CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, or you might also be listening at CFBX in Kamloops, CFIS in Prince George, or online at CITR.ca, CosmicDimensions.com, EmpowerRadio.com, or on the Co-Creator Network. And we have a very special guest today. Every week I say that it's a special guest, but I actually specifically requested that Robert Perry come back on the show because I spoke with him back in July 2009 about his book Signs, A New Approach to Coincidence, Synchronicity, Guidance, Life Purpose, and God's Plan. And if you know about my little book contest, if you want to sign up actually to be have a chance to win 11 books sent to one lucky listener, go to my website, spiritualshow.com. There's a little questionnaire, but really all you need to do to sign up is give me your name and email address. But if you know how quickly I like to get rid of books because they take up so much space in my house, you'll understand how amazing I think this book is because I still have it since 2009 and it has been on my bookshelf and I have saved it and not given it away or sold it or anything. So that tells you a lot about how I feel about Robert Perry's book. And I emailed him to see if he's done any additional research on synchronicities and what he calls, I'll have him come up on the show so he can describe it. Hi, Robert. How you doing?
Good, good. How are you?
I'm fantastic, thanks. Thanks for being on the show after, it's been, what, 3 years now?
3 years, yes. My pleasure to be back.
Yeah, and the book was brand new 3 years ago. So what's been going on for you since then?
What's been going on mainly is I feel like this is a phenomenon that needs to be on the map, so to speak. It's something that because it has some specific contours to it, it can be scientifically investigated. And so in 2010, we did a pilot study with the aim of seeing if we could find occurrences of this particular kind of synchronicity in the lives of participants. So we did that pilot study. It lasted 4 months. And then it was finally published last December in a journal called Psychiatric Annals.
Yeah, and I've read the study, and so it's very interesting to see what's come up, because actually in the book Signs, no, let's start from the beginning, because not everyone who's listening right now has been listening to this show since 2009.
Right.
So let's talk about what your synchronicities are. Now, you call them CMPEs. What does that stand for again?
It stands for Conjunctions of Meaningfully Parallel Events.
Okay.
And the idea is that at least two events come together in time as a conjunction of events, and they have a great deal in common, so they're parallel, and what they have in common seems to be designed to express a meaning or message. And I came up with that name because I want to distinguish this from other kinds of synchronicity. The term synchronicity and also the term coincidence seems to cover a lot of different things. And what I found was that in tracking this particular kind of synchronicity over a lot of years, it's been 35 years now, I found that they're very specific. You need two events that just happen to come together within a short amount of time, generally they're about a half hour apart, sometimes more like a few hours apart, but never more than 12 hours apart. And these two events have to have a lot in common. So you can make a list of usually about 6 to 10 parallels, things that are in both events, and these parallels then tell a whole story. And that story seems to be aimed at a particular situation in your life that you're dealing with, and frames that situation in a certain way, gives you a certain perspective on it.
Awesome. Now, when I read your book, Signs, I seem to recall, I haven't read it since then, actually, even though I've saved it all this time to refer back to if I ever needed to. But didn't it used to have to fall within 24 hours, and now it's 12? So why was there a change?
Well, in the book, it was 12.
Oh, was it? For some reason,
years
I thought 24.
Ago, actually, what you might be thinking is that many years ago, I thought, okay, it's 24 hours. But when I actually started tracking the amount of time that was between the events, it turned out to be much less. And what I found was that it fell in a kind of regular distribution, where about 55% of them had events that were within a half hour of each other. About 35% had events that were within a half hour to 5 hours. And the final 10% were between 5 hours and 12 hours. And after that, it just didn't happen. And we actually found that same distribution in the pilot study. So it seems like there's a kind of a regularity to how far apart the events are. And it turns out 24 hours, my rule from many years ago, is just too far out.
So now I'm curious. I've looked at your study from Psychiatric Annals, mm-hmm. and I came up with, I was looking at the little charts and stuff. Can people go and look at this themselves, or is this, do you have to be a subscriber of the?
You don't have to be. It's just online for anybody to see.
Okay. And what, I don't see, oh, it's December 2011 is the issue. So that's psychiatricannalsonline.com. Now, there's actually, maybe you can talk more about this. I was reading your newsletter this morning, actually, and you talk about a CMPE about history. So can you tell us about that and why you think this is significant?
Well, they seem to, let me back up a little bit. They seem to be designed, as I said briefly a bit ago, to impart messages. They target some situation in our lives, something oftentimes that we're wrestling with, and then they give a certain slant on that situation. Sometimes it's very specific and very directive. It's not kind of fuzzy and vague. And because I'm interested in questions of science and history and so on, sometimes I'll have these CMPEs that comment on some element of history, and very often it's unverifiable what they have to say. I have a very strong interest in the historical Jesus, and so I'll occasionally get CMPEs about some aspect of historical Jesus research. This one, if it was a recent one, was it the one about the megalithic monuments?
The stones, is that what?
Yeah, right. That was kind of a weird one. I mean, some of them are a bit strange. What happened here was that I was reading a book, and this will kind of show you how they work. Unfortunately, it's a bit of an odd one in that I think the message can't be exactly what it seems to be, which I'll explain that. So it's not the best example off the bat. But what happened was I was reading a book. The first event was I was directed to a website because of a certain blog I follow on the Shroud of Turin, one of my interests. And the post that day was about a website that talked about 10 facts about ancient history that science can't explain. And most of these 10 facts were about megalithic monuments. These are, you know, buildings from the past like the Great Pyramid or Stonehenge that involved massive stones that we don't know how they could move. In some cases, the stones are like 1,000 tons. And how could ancient peoples with their technology move these stones? So the point behind this website was these 10 facts are reasons for us to seriously question our entire view of ancient history. And then that evening, I was reading a book that I'm reviewing for the Journal of Near-Death Studies called Caduceus. And as I was reading, I came upon a chapter that had almost the identical discussion. It was a series, a section on megalithic monuments, many of the same ones, many similar photos, and the point was exactly the same. We can't explain how they could move these rocks that were that size back then, and so it really requires us to question and rewrite our whole view of ancient history. So normally I would see that as expressing just that message. If you add up the story told by the parallels, that story was, you know, these, we can't explain how they did this, and therefore we need to question our whole view of ancient history. Well, to be really honest, I retain my critical faculty, and I don't really believe that the ancients couldn't have moved those blocks with their technology. I suspect that there's no particular mystery there except for exactly how they did it. I don't think it requires us to invoke ancient aliens or anything like that. I'm sort of skeptical on that level. So the post that you read was me saying that sometimes these CMPEs work this way. They basically have a general message to impart. In this case, I suspect it was there are significant things about ancient history that we don't understand. If we really knew what happened back then, it would be a very different story than we think. And yet sometimes when they give us that message, they'll close that message in something that may not be actually true. And I personally believe in this case it's not. I don't think the stones were too big for ancient people to move without the aid of some kind of, you know, technology that we don't know about. That does happen sometimes where they give a big message and it's kind of closed in details that don't turn out to be true. But what will happen is they'll keep repeating that big message with different clothing, so to speak. And after a while, it becomes clear what they're driving at.
Cool. So, Robert, I'm curious about, now, the last time you were on the show, I asked you about whether synchronicities can be messages from the universe, even if they don't follow your strict criteria for a CMPE. Has your opinion on that changed at all?
You know, I still tend to be pretty cautious. And the reason is not that I don't think that synchronicities that don't fit my model necessarily don't mean anything. I think a lot of them, I've heard stories, and I'm sure you have too, you know, hosting the show that you do, that are just mind-blowing. And it's hard to imagine that, you know, some of those stories were just random and meaningless. I think that there is a tapestry, you know, at work all the time. What happened to me was the more I thought about it and the more I reflected on the ones that didn't fit my model, the more I realized it was just really hard to know. And I got cautious about committing myself in areas where it was hard to know. And so personally, I tend to have an attitude of, I suspect that there's meaning in everything that happens, but I'm just not sure what it is, and I don't want to commit myself when I don't have solid grounds to do so. And so I tend to be affirming of people feeling like something has happened to them that's out of the ordinary. And yet for myself, I mostly remain agnostic about those things.
Okay. And are you, I'm going to go to a break in a moment. Are you okay if someone has some kind of synchronicity that they want to ask you about? Are you cool with taking a call?
Absolutely, of course.
Okay, great. So we will be back with more synchronicity in a moment. We are speaking today with Robert Perry. He is the author of Signs, A New Approach to Coincidence, Synchronicity, Guidance, Life Purpose, and God's Plan. And you can find him, your website is simeonpress.com?
Yeah, Simeon Press.
S-E-M-E-I-O-N press.com. And that's your own little independent publishing company?
Right. And Simeon is the Greek word for sign.
All right, we'll be back with more synchronicity in a moment. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and if you want to get in on a chance to win 11 free books, go to my website, spiritualshow.com, and there is a link right under my photograph where you can sign up for your chance to win some of those books. Okay, we'll be back in a moment.
CITR, Mantra Radio, Enchant, and Give Peace a Chant presents Women of Bhakti, a new film by Geneva Harrison in its Canadian debut screening. Come to Open Door Yoga at 16th and Arbutus, Friday, August 17th at 8 p.m. to catch this documentary film about women in the Bhakti. Tickets are $20 and include the film, a Meet the Producer opportunity, refreshments, and kirtan. For more information, visit givepeaceachant.org.
Want to be a kidney hero? Don't know how? It's simple. Join the Kidney Walk in August. Walkers are invited to join friends, family, and neighbors to walk. Bring pledges and take the first steps in becoming a kidney hero by registering to be an organ donor. For more information on how and when you can be a kidney hero, visit www.kidney.bc.ca. That's www.kidney.bc.ca. Be a hero. Save lives. Register.
Welcome back to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and I forgot to put out that phone number. If you want to get on the air and ask today's guest a question, 604-822-2487. That's 604-822-2487. We're speaking today with Robert Perry. He is the author of Signs, a new approach to coincidence, synchronicity, guidance, life purpose, and God's plan. And welcome back to the show, Perry. Robert,
Thank you.
Rather, Robert.
That's okay.
You have two first names. Okay, so...
confusing.
Now, I had a... Just while we're waiting to see if anyone calls in, this morning, I actually experienced a little synchronicity, so I'm going to give it to you and see if it fits your criteria. I don't know if it has enough parallels for you, but... So last night, I posted something on Facebook about how lately I've been trying to, when I come upon a challenge, rather than getting all worked up about it, I still get worked up about things, but I try to have perspective and I try to ask myself, what is this situation here to teach me? What do I need to learn from this situation? And so I'm focusing more on a goal of just trusting that this struggle is going to bring me to a better place in the end. That actually was triggered by a friend of mine who had posted on Facebook about a struggle she was going through. So I'm not exactly sure what you have, like a first event.
Mm-hmm.
And then you need a second unrelated event. So then this morning, I was on an online dating site, and there was a guy's profile that I read, and he was talking about learning from life circumstances, and that made me remember what I had posted the night before. So I looked on it, knowing that I was having you on the show today, and on Facebook it said that I had posted that message 11 hours ago. So it fell within the 12 hours. So where do we start when we want to analyze something like this?
Okay, well, you've actually started in the right place. You have a record of both events and along with the time in which they happened. So there's your posting last night. There's the thing you read on the dating site this morning. You see how far apart they are. They're within the time, although they're stretching it. I find very few at the 11-hour setting. And then what I do is take each one, and oftentimes they're both written out, like yours are. Sometimes I have to summarize what happened in my own words. And I'll just go through them and see what exactly do they have in common. And if it's a real CMPE, what you'll usually find is something specific jumps out at you. In this case, it's the idea of learning lessons from your challenges. Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, I, really don't know. I wasn't looking for an answer on this or anything. It just sort of struck me as interesting that I was having you on the show, and then it fell within 12 hours, so I wanted to ask you about it. But it wasn't like a question that I was wanting to ask the universe.
Right. It needn't be. But what happens is, something will have happened, like you're posting on Facebook, then something else happens a short time later, and that something else, the second thing, contains something that reminds you of the first thing. So there's an element that both events share in common. And that element usually just, it jumps out at you, or else the whole thing just passes from memory. So the thing that both events share in common that I think is most obvious is both of you are writing something about learning lessons, right?
Yes. And it was both learning lessons from life.
From
what
life.
What life throws at you.
Okay. And so I'll start with that and try then to make a list of other parallels. Usually what happens is there's a very specific parallel, or maybe a few of those that seem very unlikely. And then if it's a real CMPE, those will be surrounded by a kind of a general context that's also parallel in both cases. So just articles off the internet, her for her teaching, me for some editing work I was doing, and they both involved this obscure thing called comma splices, which is an inappropriate way to use commas. And they both had an example of it. They both had three different ways to correct it that were the same ways to correct it. And I thought, this is really weird. That's the first thing you notice, is the very specific thing, comma splices, example, how to correct it, these three ways. But it turns out that they were both set within this same context in both events. And it turns out we were both doing editing work, having to evaluate somebody's usage of commas, with her students, with me, a piece of writing that I was editing. And we were both appalled at the overusage of commas, and having to correct it, and we both pulled this document off the internet as a means for correcting the problem. So there's that more general context that the really obvious specific parallels were set within. So what you'll expect to find, in your case, if it's an actual CMPE, is once you get past that specific thing you noticed, you're both, talking about learning life lessons from the circumstances of your lives, there will be more. There'll be other parallels, and chances are there'll be a whole context in which you're writing that's parallel. So maybe the reason for your writing is also parallel. In your case, once we get past that one parallel, I'm having trouble seeing more.
Okay. There wasn't a lot of parallels other than the fact that it was both something that was posted online.
Right. Right, which is really common these days.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So that's another thing I wanted to ask you. Like you were saying, the parallels with the historical issue, the question of history. I mean, if this is something that you're really interested in and you're reading like tons of books and articles and all of that, isn't it fairly likely that you're going to come up with little synchronicities just because you've got so much information coming at you? Whereas if I was looking into something historical and I saw a synchronicity, it would be a little bit more of a coincidence.
Well, it would, but in my case, I'm not actually doing that. In one situation, my interest was in the Shroud of Turin, which led me to decide about the megalithic stuff, which I don't have any interest in. In the other case, I was asked to review a book for a journal on near-death experiences because I have an interest in that. And the book happens to go into this strange chapter about these megalithic monuments. So I'm actually not, it's not an area that I read in. In both cases, I kind of got pulled over there because of some other area that I do read in. But that's the kind of thing you have to evaluate.
Okay, cool. So we've got basically for my potential CMPE, and it sounds like you're saying that it's not, because first of all, it's 11 hours after the fact, which is very unlikely anything close to the 12-hour mark is getting kind of pushing it, right?
Right, right.
So there's a post about learning from life struggles.
Right.
And then, yeah, I guess, so the fact that it's both online has nothing, that's not enough of a coincidence to be noted?
I would roll that into the first parallel just because it's so common these days. If it was, let's say, for instance, both instances were somebody doing skywriting with a plane, you know, where the plane writes in the smoke in the sky. Then I'd separate it out and I'd say, you know, there's skywriting with a plane, and both pieces of writing are talking about learning life lessons. But in the case of, in your case, because it's so common to be writing online, I would just roll it all into one. Two people are writing online about learning lessons from life events.
Okay, but then in your study here, I'm looking at, there's lots of little figures here. Okay, so figure number two, comparison of the kinds of events in the study expressed as a percentage. And actually, I wanted to ask you about this because communication was the highest instance. And I'm wondering, do you mean talking and conversation?
What that category meant. Actually, nobody has asked me about those figures except you, so it's nice to be asked. Communication rolled into itself a few of the other categories. You know, so it would be conversation, it could be a letter, it could be on the phone, it could be email communication, etc. So that's why it was such a big category. That's one reason, is because it included other categories in itself.
Okay. And so then isn't that, I mean, it's significant enough that you put it, you made note of it in your study. But I mean, so you're saying that online is so common these days, but I mean, isn't communication in general really common?
Yeah. And that figure wasn't really talking about things that would separate out on a list of parallels. It was just talking about what sorts of events tend to constitute a CMPE. And it was just basically to see if there was a pattern in what kinds of events. And there were some interesting patterns. You know, communication was a really big one. Anything that involved information was also big. Story was another big one. Basically, CMPEs tend to involve events that we would consider meaningful, have a lot of content to them. I think we often think of synchronicities or coincidences or signs as involving really striking individual images, like I saw a wild animal. But at least with these CMPEs, they tend to involve events that are really rich with meaning and content.
Okay, so it sounds like mine is, it's like noteworthy of saying, oh, isn't that interesting, but it's not really a CMPE.
I don't think it would qualify, no.
Okay. I didn't really think that it would, but I wanted to bring it up because of the, I mean, what about the fact that it came up, I mean, the fact that I had a little synchronicity knowing that you were coming on, is that something else that we could look at as a possible CMPE, or is that?
I wouldn't consider that part of the mix myself.
No.
I mean, it's not really related to either event directly.
Mm-hmm. But see, a lot of people would see something like that and go, oh, well, that must mean something.
Yeah, and if you look in synchronicity books, you hear that kind of thing, I think, quite a lot, where somebody says, when you're thinking about synchronicity, synchronicity happens. And that may be true, but it's hard to tease that out from just a kind of a bias of it being on your mind.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Because that's the thing. When you're looking for something, you're much more likely to find it because your brain is just on high alert for that subject. And that's one of the things actually in your study. Where is it? I underlined it here. Looking for the page. You actually gave people a questionnaire in advance, a WCS2. Can you tell us what that is?
Yeah, that's something I didn't design. A psychiatrist named Bernie Beitman, he and some colleagues designed the Weird Coincidence Scale. And WCS2 is the second version of the weird coincidence scale. And that basically just measures the prevalence of coincidences in people's lives. It's not correlated with CMPEs. It's just something that's designed to see, you know, how much certain kinds of things happen in people's lives based on their own self-assessment.
Okay. And so, yeah, you, part of it was people, some people are ultra sensitive to that and some people aren't. And so that basically just means that some people are paying more attention to little coincidences that happen and maybe giving them more weight than.
Right. And that didn't, the answers to that scale didn't really correlate with the people who had the most CMPEs in the study. That there was no real relationship. Basically, the idea behind CMPEs is that over a lot of years, I just found that there was this very particular phenomenon happening to me, and it kept the same pattern kept happening. And what made me focus on it was the amount that is shared by these two events. You know, there's a whole story usually, sometimes of, you know, 10 parallels, sometimes 30 parallels, very detailed stories shared by two events. It seems to go so far beyond chance that I think we can kind of relax and say, okay, I've really got something here that can't be due to chance. And then when we go that far, the next step seems to be, and if you look at how they're designed, they seem to be designed to impart a message about situations of concern in our lives, which means if there's something really objectively going on here that's not just chance, it looks like something is trying to talk to us. And that, to me, is a remarkable thing, if true.
And so, Robert, I'm curious now, do you get frustrated? Because sometimes I notice I've actually become, before I started on a spiritual path, I was fairly skeptical. And then I kind of started looking into spirituality and I became a little less skeptical and more open to possibilities. And now in the time that I've been doing this show, I've actually become more skeptical again, still open. But I think it's important because I see so many different viewpoints and I see people that come up with these like crazy ideas. And I feel like you have to have a healthy level of skepticism. Otherwise, you're just going to start buying into everybody's crap. And so I think it's important to have a balance. And now, do you find it frustrating when you hear people talk about synchronicities that are like, oh, I was, you know, I had this really big question and I'm trying to decide if I should, you know, move across the country. And I asked the universe for a sign and 2 days later, there was a sign on the road that said yes, and I decided to move. Does that kind of thing frustrate you?
It more worries me, because I think, what if you're doing some big thing based on just pure, you know, connecting of dots that aren't connected? So I get a bit scared for those people. I remember I heard a story in a study group that I was attending, and this man was really feeling like this relationship was that was very new in his life, was really like a big thing and very promising. And some of his evidence was that he'd just been on a retreat, and towards the end of the retreat, he had bent down and picked something up off the ground that caught his eye. It turned out to be a little plastic butterfly, and it just seemed like it meant something. You know, I would think it meant somebody had been littering, but anyway, some days later, he ends up in this woman's house, and he's in her bathroom, and he notices that the you know, decor in the bathroom is a butterfly one. And he thinks, oh, that's why I picked up the plastic butterfly from the ground. That really worries me, because now you're thinking you're getting a message from the universe, but when you think about how many butterflies there are, you know, I probably can look around the room right now and spot one. They're everywhere. I have kids, so that ups the chances, of course. But, you know, how do you know that those two things are connected? Why connect those? Can you be confident they are?
Exactly. And how many days apart was that?
It was days. I don't know how many, but it wasn't like, you know, 5 minutes. And even if it was, but it's easy to fall into that kind of thinking. And I used to, part of why I don't get, I would say, frustrated is because I used to think more like that. And over a lot of years, at first, any connection just seemed intuitively obvious as significant. And then over a lot of years, I realized, you know, those things don't really hold up when you think back, which is why when you tell the story and you're all excited, the other people are like, okay. They just don't have, they don't carry much weight. And so as time went on, I let go of those more and more and more and more, and hung on to this thing that seems to me like a very genuine phenomenon.
So how do you count, Robert, for that? Sometimes you see something and it's a little synchronicity, or it feels a little like deja vu or something like that, and then you get this feeling in your gut like, ooh, this is significant. Does that mean anything, or is that just some people are more sensitive and put more weight into this kind of stuff than others?
You know, I think it could mean something. I do feel that, you know, a lot of those feelings in our guts should be listened to. But I think the tricky thing is not all of them. You know, I've had some really big, goosebumpy feelings that turned out to be completely off base. So I don't think they should be all discounted, you know, wholesale, but I don't think they should be all accepted wholesale. I think we have to, you know, be discerning and selective with them.
Fair enough. And so I had another question for you, and I can't remember what it was. So I guess it couldn't have been that important. I'm just kind of curious about how, first of all, tell us, because some people are probably listening to this thing, oh, well, he's coming at this from a scientific point of view, and so he's discounting my synchronicities. What are your, can you give us a general idea of what your spiritual beliefs are?
Yes, absolutely. My day job is I teach a spiritual path called A Course in Miracles. I don't know if you know anything about that, but it's a channeled work from the 60s and 70s. It was dictated by an inner voice to a psychologist at Columbia University. It's heavily psychological. It claims to be written by Jesus, a very bold claim. Its main teaching is forgiveness, that we find inner peace and awaken spiritually through forgiving other people. That's been my career. I've been teaching that publicly for almost 30 years, 25 plus years. So, you know, I believe some pretty way out things. But personally, I really don't want to believe anything without good reasons. And reasons that hold up over time. So I do a lot of re-examining of what I believe. I'm willing to believe anything as long as I feel it's got truly solid support and can really stand up over time. I can make an argument. You know, I would love to, you know, argue my beliefs in a public forum, because I love intellectual argument. So I have some pretty way out beliefs. At the same time, I want to have a good reason.
And now I'm curious about the CMPEs. How often do they happen to you? And do they tend to be more answers from questions that you're specifically answering? Like, do you ask the universe, like, please give me a sign? Or are these things that you just happen to notice while you're collecting information, like the history CMPE?
You know, they're typically things that I just notice. I do occasionally, I mean, I do a lot of asking for guidance internally. I really believe that we have access to, you know, a higher wisdom. I don't think, I mean, not everything I get when I ask turns out to be correct. I'll be the first to say that. But throughout the day, I try to ask, you know, what should I do, et cetera. So I believe that there is guidance in different forms. With the CMPEs, my experience has been they come when they come, and they come about what they come about. They seem to have a mind of their own. In fact, they'll revisit the same situation over and over and over and ignore other ones, regardless of the strength of my interest in the other ones. So So I've kind of given up trying to control them in that way. I just wait for them to happen.
So, Robert, now this is a little bit off topic of from your book, but since we are talking about asking for guidance from the universe, I feel like it's important, especially since you take this quite analytical look at it, which I think is a good thing. But what about, so when you ask for guidance from the universe or God or from your own gut or whatever it may be, and a CMPE doesn't come up, I mean, what does guidance feel like for you? Are there other significant pieces of guidance that you experience throughout the day or the week that are unrelated to CMPEs?
Oh, sure. You know, my basically what I do, and I was taught this by A Course in Miracles, is I just do a lot of quieting my mind and just asking, you know, what should I do? What should I say? And more often than not, I don't really hear words. A lot of people do, but I just get kind of a sense. And sometimes the sense is strong, and there's even sort of a, there's words kind of halfway there. Sometimes it's weak, sometimes it's not there. But usually when I get that sense, it's wiser than what I thought before I asked. Even if what I hear is not always correct, but I find that asking throughout the day is really helpful, because generally I get better things than I thought beforehand, and I often am reminded of doing things that I've been putting off. I'm a great procrastinator, so I often do that thing you're putting off.
So, Robert, for something big, like a move across the country or something, there were a lot of stories and examples of CMPEs in your book, Signs.
Uh-huh.
If you're thinking, and now you're living in England, I believe.
Right.
So maybe we can talk a little bit about how that happened. But if you're having a big life event and it's a huge decision, are you going to follow your gut on just quieting your mind, or are you going to wait for a CMPE?
For me, that's a very good question, actually. For me, I'm going to wait for a CMPE. I'll tell you the story about moving to England. I had been living in Sedona, Arizona for 20 years, from 1990 to 2010. I married a woman that I met here in England while I was here speaking, and we had two children. And in about 2008, she started feeling like, you know, it would just be better for the family for us to be in England. And I had had guidance and a lot of CMPEs over many, many years about the importance of the Course in Miracles work that we are both engaged in being anchored in Sedona and growing there over a long period of time. And so I was just adamant that we should not move, and that it was wrong. And she kept bringing it up, and finally we had a very clear CMPE say, don't close this. You've got to see guidance about this. Because I was very close to it. I felt I knew with certainty, based on past guidance, that I needed to stay in Sedona. And so I thought, okay, we'll stay with this. And we did seek guidance. I didn't get anything definitive. And a few months later, we had a really significant CMPE that made the decision. Because what it pictured was us moving to England. And at this time, I had conceded that it would be better for our kids to be here. I did see that. You know, there's not much for kids in a little desert town. So it pictured us moving to England, and it pictured another woman moving to Sedona to keep the Circle office going while I worked from a distance, and other people were also working from a distance, but keep the work physically anchored in Sedona for the time being. And so it solved both of my things. I felt like, okay, so this is consistent with past guidance, that the work stays in Sedona, and somehow it's okay for me not to be there and just to, you know, I just visit there and do events and trainings there, you know, about once a year. And so we did it. And it's worked out unbelievably well. I think it actually works out better with me not there. And she, the other woman, did move there. And it's all been really great, actually. But that was a long process that involved seeking guidance internally and really waiting for a very clear CMPE. So that's how that story goes.
Thank you for sharing that with us, Robert. And it is time for a break. I have another question for you after the break. This is Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and today we are speaking with Robert Perry. He is the author of Signs, A New Approach to Coincidence, Synchronicity, Guidance, Life Purpose, and God's Plan. And we just have a few minutes left in the show before Parts Unknown comes around here on CITR. So if you want to get on the air and ask Robert Perry a question, maybe if you have some kind of synchronicity that's happened in your life and you want to ask him if he thinks it falls under a CMPE, which is has very strict criteria, then give us a call, 604-822-2487. That's 604-822-2487. We'll be back with more synchronicity in a moment.
On August 18th, from 3 p.m. to 9 p.m. at Second Beach at Stanley Park, world-renowned Catan leaders and artists combining music with mantras and chants will perform a free outdoor concert. There'll be vegan and vegetarian food prepared on-site in an outdoor shopping bazaar with vendors selling handmade vegan arts, crafts, clothing, and accessories from around the globe. Proceeds of all sales will go to Food for Life, a nonprofit organization that supplies nourishing vegetarian meals to the Vancouver downtown east side. Catan Vancouver, absorb the sound, ignite your soul. For more information, check catanvancouver.com.
The question, what kind of cities do we want to live in? How do we want our cities to be? Cannot be divorced from the question of what kind of people we want to be.
Join me, your host, Andrew Longhurst, every Tuesday at 5 p.m. for The City, an hour dedicated to critical discussions of urban issues. Live on CITR 101.9 FM and CITR.ca. For more info, visit thecityfm.org.
Welcome back to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and I am doing a book giveaway. It's going to probably end sometime in September. If you want to get in on your chance to win 11 books that are from past episodes. People send me books every day, every week, and I'm going to start sending some of them to you if you are the lucky winner. So go to my website, spiritualshow.com, if you want a chance to win them. And also there is on the Facebook page, facebook.com/synchronicityradio, there's more description on the specific books that are in the pot. This time around, I'll be probably doing it every season. So, and if you get your name on the list, then I'll just enter it in every time I have a draw and you'll have a chance to win some books. So today we are speaking with the author of Signs. His name is Robert Perry. Signs is the book, A New Approach to Coincidence, Synchronicity, Guidance, Life Purpose, and God's Plan. Welcome back to the show, Robert.
Thank you.
So my question is, we talked before the break about how when you have a big, significant event, you wait for a CMPE. And for people who are just tuning in, can you give us a quick rundown again of what a CMPE is?
Okay, CMPE is where you have two events that just happen to come together within hours of each other. And they're strikingly similar to the extent that they actually share a long list of parallel features that are in both events. And that list is not just a scattered list, it's a coherent story. And that story then is generally offering some kind of a slant or perspective on a situation you're dealing with. It's conveying a message to you about that situation.
And Robert, actually, a question came up for me. Now, that average number of parallels in your work and in the study seem to be around 9.
Yeah.
Somewhere between 7 and 9 parallels. So if you have something that qualifies as a CMPE under your strict criteria, are there some things you give more weight to? Like, okay, this counts as a CMPE, but it's sort of a low-level CMPE, and then this one has got 12 parallels and 4 different events happened. And do you give more weight to others, or once it's a CMPE, it's significant, period?
It's a good question. You know, I've been wondering about that for quite a long time, because some of them are really, really impressive, and some of them are not as impressive. You know, there are ones, generally I consider 4 parallels to be the absolute minimum, but they have to be really good, which means quite specific and unlikely. My experience thus far, I think, is that even though with the more impressive ones, they pack more psychological wallop, you could say, they just feel bigger, the significance of what they have to say, I think, is pretty much not a function of how many parallels they are. You can have one that barely qualifies and has something really important to say, and you can have one that's really stunning in terms of the parallels and has something less important to say. So from my standpoint, once it qualifies, once it gets over the bar, then I'm listening, you know, whatever it has to say.
And now thank you for explaining that. And when you're looking at big life events, like a move, or is it the right time to have kids, or something like that, do you always wait for a CMPE, or is it only if it's something that you're actually undecided about? If you already know you want to do this, do you just do it anyway, or do you wait?
You know, I don't think I always wait. I mean, you know, life's always happening. You're making decisions all the time. And oftentimes, you know, fairly big ones. I think that I'm willing to make a big decision if I'm pretty confident it's a guided thing. And guidance doesn't need to come through CMPEs for me. If I have real questions, though, if when I ask within, it feels questionable, I'll often ask with other people. And that, I think, helps with the clarity of guidance. If you all get roughly the same thing and it wasn't what you were all saying beforehand, then my confidence level goes up. So if I feel pretty confident it really is guided, I'll tend to go ahead. Unless there's uncertainty, unless there's big risks involved, to the extent that there are, I want more confidence that it's guided. And the CMPEs give me that.
Thank you, Robert. And so also I want to make sure that listeners understand you wrote your book Signs, A New Approach to Coincidence, Synchronicity, Guidance, Life Purpose, and God's Plan after you had been keeping track of synchronicities for quite a while. You didn't just wake up one day and think, I'm going to write a book about synchronicities. Something like 20 years you were keeping data on this stuff, right?
Yeah, I'd really been experiencing this phenomenon for over 30 years at that point. I think now it's been about 36 years. But it was a while before I really started writing it all down, you know, another 10 years before I started writing it down, and then a while longer before I started writing every occurrence down. But what happened was very slowly over hundreds of occurrences and hundreds of pages of records, this phenomenon came into view, because I started out with no preconceptions. And over time, it just repeated so many times. I saw the same pattern so many times that it slowly came into view.
Thank you. And so we only have a few minutes left in the show, and I just want to ask you if there's anything really significant that I haven't asked about that you want to get across about either your book, Signs, or the study that you've done.
Well, the study was important from my standpoint because it really showed these things are happening in people's lives out there. We had 17 people in the study. They were meant to report everything that they thought might be a CMPE over a four-month period. They reported 40 items, and of those, 16 met the criteria of being a CMPE. And that number was a bit surprising for me. I thought it would be lower, to be honest. And what that suggested to me is that these things are happening oftentimes. I think almost all the time they pass by either unnoticed or unnoticed so briefly that they're quickly forgotten, or noticed so briefly that you forget them quite quickly. So I think, you know, the study backed up my sense and my experience that people are having these things. And what I think is so significant about them is they really do seem to be an instance where something is using the events of our lives, somehow organizing those events into patterns that really stretch our ideas of chance, and trying to speak to us. So I think it's a hugely significant phenomenon, and that's why I'm hoping to get it on the map and recognized as a valid phenomenon.
Awesome. And yeah, you mentioned in your study that you want it to be considered on the same level and researched the same way as near-death experiences and other paranormal events that a lot of time and effort and money goes into researching.
Yeah, although I think not enough time and effort and money because our culture doesn't value the research enough. But, yeah, the CMPEs themselves, they're the ones that have really impressed this idea on me. They want to be researched. They want to get out there. They want rigorous scientific methods applied to them. And they see this becoming a discipline in its own right someday, hopefully sooner than later.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for being on the show today, Robert, and for your incredible devotion to exploring this phenomenon, because I think it is so important, especially in the work that I do. I see so many people who put so much weight into these seemingly what would be to an outside viewer insignificant, and they make major life decisions based on, like your example of, you know, seeing the butterfly one day. And so I really love that you're taking a more scientific approach to this. A lot of scientists are going to be like, that's not scientific at all, but I mean,
right.
You do actually have a lot of criteria and a lot of data, and you've put in so much work and effort. You're not just doing this willy-nilly and relying on gut feelings or magical sparkly things like that. So I really appreciate that.
Well, I appreciate what you said, and I really appreciate being back. I like the fact that you know, you're trying to blend a skeptical attitude with an open mind. That's the way I feel too.
Awesome. Woohoo. Okay, well, thank you so much for being on the show. It's been such a pleasure. And is there anything else you want to add before Chris Arific comes in?
No, I just really, I'm honored to be back. And I hope your viewers, you know, start noticing these kind of things happen in their own lives.
Thank you. I'm sure they will. And so, again, your website, if they want to grab your book.
Yeah, the website is semeonpress.com, and that's S-E-M-E-I-O-N. Press.com.
Wonderful. Thank you. And are you going to be having another study?
You know, right now I'm in a phase of deciding where to go with this thing. We need to do another study. I'm just not quite sure the details of that, how it's going to come about. So I'm open and waiting for a direction.
Awesome. But if people are interested in participating in the future, the way they can hear about it is by signing up for your newsletter, right?
Absolutely. It'll be announced on my blog if it happens, if and when it happens. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Robert. Well, have a wonderful day and good luck with following the synchronicities in your life.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I wish you the best of luck with that, too, and thank you very much for having me.
Thanks. Have a great day. Take care. Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
This has been Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. That was Robert Perry. He's the author of Signs, A New Approach to Coincidence, Synchronicity, Guidance, Life Purpose, and God's Plan. And you can find him online at SemeionPress.com. That's S-E-M-E-I-O-N Press.com. And I will also put a link up to his website on my website, spiritualshow.com. I'll be back next Monday with another synchronicity-filled show here on Synchronicity. Have a great day. Be well. Namaste.
Everything? Perfect. Nothing at all? Even better. At the UBC Bike Kitchen, you can use our space and tools to do your own bike maintenance. Get one-on-one instruction on how to fix your bike yourself, or drop your bike off for us to repair. You can also buy a fully refurbished, guaranteed used bicycle, or a variety of new and used parts and accessories. The Bike Kitchen is UBC's non-profit, student-owned, full-service bike shop. We're located in the basement of the Student Union Building. Just look for the stairwell on the north side of the sub across from Gage Towers, or search for the UBC Bike Kitchen on Facebook. Stop by the Bike Kitchen and then get riding.
Listen up, the deadline for Shindig 2012 is fast approaching. If you are a local musician or band, now is your chance to get in on this high-stakes battle of the bands and earn yourself some prizes and glory. Past participants of Shindig include the Pack AD, 3 Inches of Blood, Japan Droids, You Say Party, and so much more. All styles are welcome. The deadline for digital submission is August 6th, while physical entries must be received by August 12th. For instructions on how to submit your entry, go to CITR.ca or find CITR Radio on Facebook.
Bambino Mukhtar, the superstar guitarist of Tuareg, North Africa, is coming to Vancouver. His electrifying jams capture the spirit of resistance and rebellion and echoes the playing of fellow Africans Kinarien and Ali Faka Touré, not to mention icons such as Jimi Hendrix, John Lee Hooker, and Jimmy Page. You can see him live with guest Van Abasso on August 16th at the Rio Theater. Advance tickets available at Red Cat, Zulu, and High Life Records or online at nightheat.ca.